Welcome to a recording of Titusville Free Methodist Church, a community planted in the forgiveness, freedom, and fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your interest and pray that you are blessed as you listen to this relevant word.
So, I got about half of this message I want to go through. And that's all I did at first service as well. I just did half of it. You know, the lights were flickering earlier, if you notice. And they were flickering when we first walked in, and it was really great when Rhonda, to avert any like wild problem, moved over from the keyboard to the piano, because the piano doesn't need power. It just plays. And when the lights flickered this morning, I thought, Sean, we need, where'd he go? Oh, there he is, yeah. So we need like a plan in place for when the power goes out, right? Because we don't have any words on the screen, or we just need a plan in place for what we're going to do then. And I know what some of you are thinking, and that's probably where we'll go. So we'll consider that the will of God. But you know, there's a power outage that we can't prepare for. There's a power outage that we can't live with. And that is, if God would withhold his Holy Spirit from us, it's a power outage that we cannot live with. And so that's why we're in this series during summer, where we're talking about Spirit-filled life, where we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And last week, we kind of set the table. I gave you the menu. I showed you what we were going to be eating over the course of the summer. Kind of did an overview of why we need the Spirit. And so today we want to talk about the Spirit as a gift. And to do that, I want us to, like Luke gets this. Like if any gospel writer especially, but if anybody, well, they all get it. But Luke just talks about it in the gospel and in the book of Acts that he also wrote. He gets this dynamic that the Holy Spirit brings, without which you should have stayed home and skipped the detour altogether. So I want to read three passages that just kind of show Luke's progression. These are the things that Luke wrote down, the words of Jesus and then the words of Peter. But Luke's writing it down because he wants us to get it. He wants us to understand how incredibly lost we are without the Holy Spirit. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 11. We're going to start reading at verse 9 and read down to 13. And then we're going to skip over to the end of Luke and then the beginning of Acts. So here's Luke 11, verses 9 to 11. So I say to you, that's Jesus, I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, and here you are, this is Father's Day, and if you're here today as a father, I know that you want to give good gifts to your children, and Jesus knows it too. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead? No. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? No. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Now, jump to the back of Luke. More words of Jesus. In the gospel, these are the last recorded words of Jesus to his disciples. So we're in Luke 24, and we're going to read just verse 49. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And then finally, turn over to Acts chapter 2. This is after the moment of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit came through the upper room like fire and descended upon each one of the believers like tongues of fire. And Peter's preaching, explaining what has happened. And so He says, beginning in verse 32, Acts chapter 2, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. May God bless to our hearts these readings from his word. Let's pray. Come alive. Come alive. Come alive. Might your words come alive in us. Might your spirit, like a lightning bolt, hit these words and connect them to our spirits, to our hearts, to our minds, so that these words and our very lives and our church would come alive. Amen. Amen. So I might be making a wrong assumption here, but I've always had this sense that most of us live with this longing for more. We want more. Like church should be more than just getting together and singing a few songs and hearing a sermon. Right? Like, don't you want it to be more than that? And living a Christian life every day, shouldn't that be more than just believing the right things? And shouldn't that be more than just behaving the right way? You know, so coming together as a church and singing unto God, worshiping and hearing from his word, that's important. As a Christian, living every day, believing the right things and acting in a way that pleases Christ, that's important. But still, when we put those things together, we think, but isn't there still something more? If you look at Luke chapter 11, if you look at the context of the whole thing, like Jesus is putting things together for us. Like, just before, you know, these chapter divisions are arbitrary. Well, they're not arbitrary, but they're not inspired. So it's kind of too bad that we could start at chapter 11, but just before chapter 11, something pretty important happens. Just before chapter 11, Jesus is in the house of Mary and Martha, and they're having a Bible study. Well, Mary is. Martha's in the kitchen working on the community fish fry. But Mary's having a Bible study. Jesus is teaching, and that's important. And then you jump into chapter 11 and you have the disciples saying, Jesus teaches how to pray. And he teaches them how to pray. When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, may your name be hallowed. And on it goes. So Bible study is important and prayer is important. But Jesus moves right from those two instances, good Bible study in the house, good prayer, and like there's still something more. There's still something more. And he begins to talk about how the Father wants to give us the Holy Spirit. Honestly, has there never been a moment of or a season of dissatisfaction in your life where you wanted more from God? Where you wanted more from God? And some people would protest, saying more? Like, more than the gift of his Son? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. More than that? Or more than the love that God demonstrated toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? More than that? More than the gift of eternal life? Like, it sounds like we're a little lacking in gratitude. But yet it's God that's invited us to ask for the more than the gift of salvation, more than the love that was displayed in Christ. He invites us. The Father himself says to us, yes, there's more. Do you know, most of you know, how it delights a parent to watch their children unwrap gifts at birthday and at Christmas. And and the delight a parent has when maybe they've had, maybe there were several gifts involved at Further Burn, or several gifts involved at Christmas, and so I don't know what your custom is, but our custom always was saving the best gift for last, right? And so, like, maybe they thought they opened everything there was, and it's like, oh, there's more. And so, like, out comes the more. It's like, oh, wow. And parents love it. They love, they take delight in seeing their children receive more, receive the gift. And so I think the father does as well. Storytellers play on this a lot. So, like, think about a couple of Christmas movies. You know, you've got Miracle on 34th Street, and there's this little girl, Susan, who whatever she gets for Christmas, I don't even know what it is, but whatever she opens up in the house or the apartment that she lives in, the big gift she gets is like a house and a family, more. And then there's, this is the one I like. I just like the ending. The Christmas Story. So like some of you are moaning, oh, don't tell us about Ralphie. But so the Christmas Story. You know, Ralphie and his brother come downstairs, and there's the Christmas tree, and there's all the presents, and they dive for it, and they begin to unwrap their presents, and it's a busy morning, and Ralphie's little brother is asleep under the Christmas tree, hugging his favorite present, and Ralphie is sitting on the couch in between his mother and his father, and his mother asks him, "Did you have a nice Christmas?" Ralphie says, "Oh, pretty nice." And his father says, "Did you get everything you wanted?" And he says, "Well, almost." His dad says, "Almost. Well, that's life." He does. There's always next Christmas. And then there's this pause. And very choreographed, his father leans forward and says, "Hey, wait a minute, what's that? What's that over there?" Ralphie looks, says, "Where?" "Over there, behind the desk over there. Why don't you get up and go and see what that is?" And so Ralphie, with some amount of uncertainty, gets up off the couch and he goes back behind the desk and he pulls out this present. And it's long and narrow and takes off the ribbon, and then he begins to unwrap it. When he pulls the wrapping paper down, he can see what it is. You know what the father's doing this whole time? Do you remember? He's giggling. This grown man is giggling and laughing and watching his son unwrap this laugh gift. And not only that, he's kind of going through the motions of helping his son unwrap it and pull it out of the box. And Ralphie, meanwhile, pulls that paper down and he's, "Wow. Wow." And there it is. The Red Ryder carbon action 200 shot range model air rifle. How does he say that so fast during the movie? There it is, the more. It's the more. And his parent, his dad is loving it. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Friends, the Holy Spirit himself is the gift. The Holy Spirit himself is the gift, is the more. Not the good feeling we get when we're singing the songs that we like. That's not the more. The Holy Spirit is the gift. Not some kind of ecstatic experience that we have. Not some supernatural, unexplainable manifestation of the Spirit's presence. That's not the gift. That's not the more. Those are all good things. But the gift is the Spirit himself. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we don't make payments for the Holy Spirit, and we don't earn the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift. And not only that, well, let me fill in blanks for you. Number one, a gift is something we can ask for. A gift is something that we can ask for. Luke 11:9, Jesus said, so I say to you, ask. Ask. That's the first next step. Like, can you just ask? Like, maybe you don't want to ask because maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you are just like, this is fine. Singing a few songs and hearing a sermon. This is fine. Believing the right things and behaving the way we should. That's fine. But maybe for you, it's not fine. Maybe for you, it's like, no, there's more. This is good, but there's more. And Jesus said, if you believe that there's more and you want more, here's what you do. Ask. So Ralphie wasn't afraid to ask, was he? Like every single person who would listen to him, including Santa Claus, he would ask, what do you want for Christmas? I want a Red Ryder, carbon action, 200-shot, range model air rifle. But he was, nobody wanted to give it to him except his dad. And his dad delighted to give it to him. When we ask the Father, he delights. He delights to give it to us. Ask. You know, again, you got, if you connected everything here in Luke 11, one of the things that comes before the passage we read is this parable, this little story about suppose you have a friend, and suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight. Okay, this is not a good time. Goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. The one inside answers, don't bother me, the door's already locked and my children are in bed with me. I can't get up and give you anything. He will not get up and give him something because he's a friend. Yet, because of the man's boldness, because the man will keep on asking, because the man won't stop asking. There's another parable that Jesus tells that's exactly the same, just with some different characters, where a widow goes to the door of a judge and keeps on knocking on that door, pounding on that door. And the judge will finally get up and answer and give the woman justice because she kept being a pest. She kept asking. And I think, like, so Jesus tells this parable and then says, ask. Ask for what? Ask for the Holy Spirit. That's the way all those dots connect. Like sometimes we want to get away, because I think the alternative makes us afraid. We want to get away with saying, well, if God wants to give me something, he'll give me something. But what if he wants you to ask? And I'm only saying that because that's what it says. Ask, 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 ask. Ask for the gift. How would you like to be able to ask for a gift that you know you'll get? Right? Like, ask. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit? To him who asks. There you go. So we want to be an asking church. We want to be an asking Christian. We want to be asking, Father, good Father, better Father than any earthly Father, give us this good gift so we can have Spirit-filled life. Ask. And then when you ask, wait. A gift is something we should wait for. So Jesus says in Acts 1:4, similar to what we read in Luke 24:49, Jesus says in Acts 1:4, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. Wait. some of us ask God for something and then we get up and leave like way too quick. We're just up and gone without waiting. Wait. A few weeks ago, I believe, I did this little chore at my house. Behind my house, I have a bank. It's a pretty steep bank. It's not a long bank. It's only about 4 feet, maybe, but it's pretty steep. And when I first moved in to the house, I was able to take a push mower and mow that bank back and forth. That got kind of hard. I think the bank got longer or steeper or something. I don't know. I'm sure it wasn't me getting older. But after a little while, I thought, I can't mow that anymore. So I got out a weed whacker. So I would let the grass grow pretty high, and so maybe couple times a summer, I would take the weed whacker out and whack it down, and that would hold it for a while. Well, this summer, I had this brilliant idea, like, I'm just going to kill it. I'm going to kill all that grass. And so I got some Roundup, and I put it in my spray tanker bottle, and I filled that up, and this is like baptism by sprinkling, all right? I baptized the whole length of this bank with Roundup to kill it. And you know what happened right away? Do you? Nothing. Nothing happened right away. Like, I don't know what I expected right away, but nothing happened. And the next morning I got up and I looked out my back door and I looked at that bank and still nothing. The grass was as high and the weeds were as high and as green as they had ever been. Nothing. On the second day, the weeds started to turn a little brown. And the next day, the grass started to turn brown. And after a few days, I saw the effect of my bank being baptized with Roundup. The whole bank was brown and dead. It didn't happen right away. I didn't know the effects of this baptism right away. Okay, and we might not either. That's why we need to wait. We wait. We wait before God, we wait with God to see the effect that this gift of the Spirit is going to have in us. Finally, the Father's gift is huge. The Father's gift is huge. Do you know that God doesn't ration? Do you know this? God doesn't ration. God doesn't have a limited amount of something and say, well, you know what? I'm going to give this person more of my Spirit than I am this person just because I like him better. Or I'm going to give more of my Spirit to this church than I am to this church because I like this church better. God doesn't ration that way. John chapter 3, the gospel writer says that God gives his Spirit without limit. That's pretty awesome. God gives his Spirit without limit. Like, you want more? I've got more. You want more? I've got more. So I said, over the course of the summer, I'm going to repeat myself a lot. So prepare yourself for that. So here, I'm going to repeat myself already from something I said last week, just because it's so great and true. I heard a preacher one time say that you will weary of the blessing before God wearies of the giving. You will weary of the blessing before God wearies of the giving. God gives his Spirit without limit. So if our heart is for more, there's always more. If our heart is for more, there's always more. There's more of the Spirit. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. Some of you are nervous about the last three fill-ins. We're going to talk about them later. I'll tell you what they are. When you unwrap the gift, when you receive the more, when you make the ask, what comes with the Spirit is God's presence, God's power, and God's purity. That's what the Spirit brings. And we're going to talk about presence, and we're going to talk about power, and we're going to talk about purity, but not right now. Right now, we're just going to talk about the ask. Making the ask and receiving the gift with whatever that brings. So, some of you like wonder, like, why isn't my Christian experience more? It's the Holy Spirit that brings that experience of presence and purity and power. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the experience of God in our life and makes it real. So today we're going to pray, and I'm going to invite you to come and receive the sacrament, because this is where it begins. So let's just remember back to Peter's preaching at Pentecost, when after he's all done preaching, the Bible says people were cut to the heart, which is great. Like, you, that's what we ought to pray for our congregation, that God would cut us to the heart. People were cut to the heart and said, Peter, what should we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you will receive the forgiveness for your sin. Okay, that's what this is. Like, we're leaving sin behind. We're leaving sin behind in our pew. We're repenting. We're believing. We're taking this body as God, this bread as the body of Christ, as God infuses it with his Spirit, and we're dipping in this cup and receiving it unto ourselves like the blood of Christ infused with the Spirit of God. We're receiving this gift, the gift of love, demonstrating that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're receiving this gift of Jesus the Son. We're receiving this gift of eternal life. But those weren't the end of Peter's words. The end of Peter's words were, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this is like part one. Receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit is like part two. So today, when we come to receive the sacrament, I'm going to invite you to the altar. I'm going to invite you to spend some time praying. And you know, I'm always saying that you can pray at the altar or you can pray in your pews. And of course you can. But maybe there's times you can't. Maybe there's times you can't receive in the pew what you might receive at the altar. Here's why. Let's go back. My wife wants to know why. Let's go back to Christmas one more time. So here we are. We got the trees. We got the presents under the tree. And when we were little, and when our kids were little, no one was bashful about diving for the tree, right? Like, that's just where they went. Like, because that's where the presents are. The presents are. So there's no pride involved here. There's no, like, I'm just too cool for that. Because that's what happens when you turn 13. Like, you're just too cool to dive for the tree. And you sit back on the couch. And you hope you have a younger brother or sister who will, like, go along with this plain Santa Claus thing and bring your present to you. I'm saying dive for the tree. See, God wants us to come to him in childlike faith. We're not waiting for someone to bring it to us. We're coming and we're asking for it. Oh God, you have a gift for me that I want to receive. So come and make the ask. I think there's something to that. I think there's something to the humility that we show when we bow before God and say, oh God, I don't want to live one more day of trying to be a Christian without your Spirit filling me. So we're inviting you to come and to make the ask this morning, to make the ask to receive the gift. Holy Spirit will lead us, and I'm just going to invite you to come just as you would. John?
Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website at tfreechurch.org to listen to our regular podcast, and find out more about All That Is T3 Church.